May the peace of Christ be with you. We have stepped beyond the days of Lent, where we were anticipating, looking for the coming of the light of the world. But now we have stepped into the days of Easter, whereby that light, having trudged through the days of Holy Week, facing the terror of Good Friday, and receiving the hope of Easter, whereby that light we see yet again, that like the first disciples, it might feel a little strange, that by the light of Easter, we see more than we expected to see. That on the one hand, it resonates with the words of the psalmist who says, "The Lord is my strength and my might, he has become my salvation." Those words just sound like Easter morning. That we might proclaim, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But on the other hand, by the light of Easter, we see the people and the places who are unable to rejoice. They are still hurting, even suffering, despite the fact that the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That we might ask important questions on this day that the Lord has made, that perhaps we have all been taken aback, had the breath knocked out of us from the stories and the pictures out of Ukraine, that along with the church around the world, we started the season of Lent with the reality of war, that Pope Francis and other leaders of the church called the people of God around the world in solidarity with the people of Ukraine to fast on Ash Wednesday. That while we were wrestling with the meaning of those words, "From ashes you have come, and to ashes you shall return," they were wrestling with their reality. And Jesus faced similar questions. Questions about good and evil, freedom and oppression, life and death. And the disciples, they had to wrestle with those same questions. That it was those questions that kept them huddled up in fear on the evening of Easter. And it's why Jesus came to them and said, "Peace be with you." And those words still resonate today. That we find an emphasis on peace throughout all of Scripture, where in Exodus 23:4, it says, "When you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey going astray, you shall bring it back." Or in Hosea 2:18, "I will make for you a covenant on that day with wild animals, the birds of the air, and creeping things on the ground, and I will abolish the law, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety." Or Zechariah 9:10, "He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations." Or in Romans 12:18, "If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Or Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, or 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Now, I know that's not all it says in Scripture, that there are places which we might point to that sound far more violent. But we lean into the emphasis of peace because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. When I heard the story about Mina and Gennady Podgaisky, CBF field personnel are missionaries working in Ukraine who just happened to be stateside when the invasion started. I could not imagine their reality. Their entire lives were in Ukraine. Their friends, their church, their work, their ministry, people, couple that they had counseled and married, children that they had dedicated and baptized. That on the day of the invasion, they were on the phone from midnight till the next morning, talking to the people that they cared about because they were terrified and fleeing for shelter. But what do you say to someone facing the devastation of war up close? I read about the funeral of a young Ukrainian soldier, Dmytro Kotenko, whose family was unable to attend the burial. They did not even know that he had passed away, that in a war-torn country, information does not flow quickly or freely. His father is a truck driver. His mother works at a local farm. They had given their son their love and devotion. And anytime someone we care about needs us, all we want to do is be with them. And they did not even have the chance to attend their son's funeral. I also read about Boris Romanchenko, who died in the invasion. He was in his apartment when the bombs started to fall. He was a Jewish man who had survived the Nazi Holocaust, seeing this kind of tragedy before. That he had been deported to Germany in 1942, eventually sent to a concentration camp and Buchenwald, and eventually was freed in the liberation of 1945. But tragedy found him again. And it is into this world that Jesus says, peace be with you. There's a pastor in Ukraine, Fyodor Reshunets, who continues to work and serve and care for those around him. He's trying to provide support and encouragement to those without water, electricity, or any idea of when the war might end. And strikingly, he says, I have to remind myself on a daily basis that we are humans, and we are not just to remain. But it is so crucial in the midst of hell not to lose our humanity, but to preserve it and to show it and to demonstrate it, because that's what the people need the most in this moment. That we are not just to remain. That we push against the violence. Because Jesus said, "Peace be with you." In every act of kindness, compassion, and hope is an act of peace. There was a minister preparing to meet with her ordination council, a day full of joy and details. She was rushing around trying to make sure everything was in order before she sat down with the ordination council, who would ask her questions about God, her calling, and the church. But she was overwhelmed, running around, unlocking all the doors in the building so people could get in. She was setting up chairs in a circle where they could meet. She was greeting people at the door. And in the back of her mind, she was worried about all those questions they were going to ask. A friend of hers on the ordination council arrived and saw that just beneath the surface, she was distressed. So her friend said, "Peace be with you." And like a doctor swinging a mallet on her knee, she immediately said, "And also with you." But her friend could tell she didn't really hear what she was saying. So her friend reached out and put her hands on her shoulders and said, "Peace be with you." And she said, "Thank you," trying to move on to the next thing. But her friend had a pretty good grip on her shoulders and said again, "Peace be with you." And she finally heard those words, closed her eyes, and listened for the presence of God. That when we witness the harsh realities of this world, we can feel rather helpless. So we move on to the next thing. It's why I am thankful for the church. It reaches out and puts its hands on our shoulders and reminds us to hear Jesus say again, "Peace be with you." To think about what that means, how we think about peace and value it, and how we respond to conflict. On the wall of a cellar in a Jewish concentration camp, an unknown author whom all we know is that he or she faced violence and suffering wrote, "I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. And I believe in love, even when there's no one there. And I believe in God, even when God is silent. I believe through any trial, there is always a way. But sometimes, in this suffering and hopeless despair, my heart cries for shelter, to know someone's there. But a voice rises within me, saying, 'Hold on, my child. I'll give you strength. I'll give you hope.'" just stay a while. May all of those in Ukraine and around the world facing violence and suffering hear such a voice. And may we always remember that Jesus said, "Peace be with you," that blessed are the peacemakers. So may the peace of Christ be with you. And may the peace of Christ be with all of creation. Amen.